friends, and welcome back to another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Arata, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
Why are you laughing at me?
Why did you say it like that? What page are you on?
I don't know. It just felt right in the moment. We are in person today, are we not? So we can see your little face across the table from me. Isn't it so nice?
Yeah, I love it. It does make a difference because I do find when we're recording remotely, like, you can't always tell when the other person is about to speak or is finished speaking or whatever.
I hear you.
And, you know, we just, it feels more stressful. It get a little bit interrupty, you know.
Your greatest fear. You'd never want to interrupt.
My greatest fear. To interrupt Bethany Rutter.
Yeah, the great Bethany Rutter. What are you reading right now, my good binge?
So, yesterday I finished the Patricia Lockwood novel. No one is talking about this.
Yes.
I surprised myself. Cool. I liked it.
Maybe I'll like it too. If you like it, maybe I'll like it.
I think you should try it. I actually think you should try it. It's definitely way more experimental than I was expecting. I feel like the whole thing kind of felt a little bit like, I don't know, like, you know, when you've spent an entire evening just on the internet wasting your time and you come up for air and it's like,
there is a whole other world.
Yeah, right.
It is not the internet. Yeah.
It feels very much like that. And everyone describes it as a book in two halves, which it totally is, because the plot only really kicks in the second half. The first half really is just like experimental vibes. But I really liked it.
Cool. I'm interested. I have a copy. I will read
it. Yeah. Try it out. Tell me what you think.
I will report back.
What are you reading?
I'm reading Tell Me I'm Worthless by Alison Rumfitt.
Oh!
I am loving it. It is very dark.
Excellent.
It is what it looks like. It is a black cover and it is very dark. I read 100 pages of it just now while I was getting tattooed, and it was actually very apt to be reading it while I was getting tattooed.
Can I just say, man, I can only aspire to your levels of zen of like reading whilst being tattooed, because all I can do is grit my teeth and cry.
So here's the thing. Being tattooed in the Age of Rona is actually quite good, because wearing a mask means that nobody can see the faces that I pull. So I can be doing my faces and the tattooist isn't like, oh, do you want me to stop? Because I don't want him to stop. I just want to carry on, but I need to pull my faces. I need to pull my faces. So yeah, I was quite grateful to have something juicy and absorbing to read. And yeah, I think you are going to love it when you read it.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait.
It's right up your street, I think. And very unlike other stuff I have read. Yeah, I can't really think what I would compare it to. She's really written a banger.
She's really doing something. Now, I think I'm saving it for, I'm going camping in like, well, I'm to a caravan. I'm not going to be pitching a fucking tent. But
there will be more than a sheet of nylon between you and the elements.
Yes, but okay, and more importantly, in the bears and ghosts and wolves and the things that frighten me in the dark. No, I'm going to be in a little caravan, but I'm saving some like of my spooky autumnal reads for that weekend. So that's coming with me, along with a few others.
Cool. Well, I'm hyped for you, and I'm hyped for me to talk to you about it. And I'm hyped for Friends of the Pod to read it, because I think it's one that a lot of our lads will enjoy. So, what are we going to talk about today?
I think it's time to address Pandora's box.
It is, to address the elephant in the literary room.
Beautiful world, where are you?
Donde esta? The beautiful world.
Let's do Sally Rooney. Okay. It's time.
So this isn't necessarily like an episode where we're going to be spending the whole time chatting about what we think and feel about the book.
No, because mainly I feel like everyone's going to grow very tired of that very quickly, because it's going to be fucking everywhere. So we want to talk about, we are going to talk about what we think of the book, but we're also going to talk about the hype surrounding the book.
And the campaign, like the hype generated and also just organic.
Exactly.
And this episode was kind of a request by friend of the pod, Simon Alvey. Good dude and faithful listener. So thank you so much, Simon. This was a really good idea. And we were actually going to do a different ep, but your idea was so good that here we are.
We pivoted, pulled the handbrake, we did a skid Yui, and we're going in a different direction.
Completely different.
Do you like the way I said all that, as though either of us could drive and would ever pull off such a manoeuvre?
We are virgins who can't drive.
Okay, so well, let's start at the beginning. All right, so the book was announced this year.
God, it feels so long ago.
Yeah, I don't think that we were aware of it in 2020. I may be wrong on that. I've done literally no research. We're just rolling on our vibes.
Yeah.
But it all kicked, the campaign kicked off with the cover reveal.
Yes.
With the mini books.
The Dinky Dinky books.
Now listen, I fucking love that. I love them. Partly, I think the reason why I loved them so much was because Simon Savage, who does wonderful YouTube videos, if you're a BookTube fan, then I hope that you watch his channel. But Simon posted his envelope with Faber, the Faber logo on it, and Beautiful World, Where Are You? Like, I think there was like a mention on the envelope or a sticker. And I'd replied immediately being like, oh my fucking God. And he was like, no, no, no. There was a date. There was like an embargo date where you could only open it. They wanted everyone to open them at the same time. And he was like, it's definitely not a book. So I was like, okay,
interesting. Yeah.
They're not proofs. I'm curious, I'm excited, but I don't have FOMO. Anyway, then everyone opened them, and obviously everyone who had a package would have known it was not a book.
Yes.
But obviously the internet at large
did not know.
Thought that they were proofs. So there was immediately like this very strong, this big FOMO energy emanating from all corners of Twitter. That then, you know, like, was then kind of burst by the revelation that it was just these tiny little notebooks, which I thought were hilarious. I thought it was a really funny way of doing a cover reveal. It's certainly, like, banged.
Unique. Yeah. Yeah.
And then a few days later, I got one in the post, and I was really happy.
I just wonder who came up with such a thing, and why?
So I think it was Nerixia.
Okay, cool.
Or Faber. I think has been the brains behind quite a lot of the activities we're going to discuss. And yeah, I thought it was fresh and unique. It certainly got everyone sharing the cover in a way that just tweeting an image may not have done.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, it's kind of a weird idea because it's not actually a book. It's just a tiny little, essentially a blank notebook that is small but has the cover of the book. But it is a way of getting the cover out there in a physical way rather than, yeah, just like a picture. Because what could you send to someone that would represent the book without being able to send them a proof?
I mean,
or and a proof that doesn't necessarily have the finished cover on it.
Make I mean, think. I suppose, yeah, like, there's lots of other things that they could have sent. You know, like, you could have, I assumed actually by the size of the box that it was going to be a cookie or something like that. But a book is like a little keepsake.
Yeah. And
I don't know, there's something very cute and fun about it.
I agree. So that was where we began.
So that was where, that's where our story begins. So I'm very quietly trying to take off all my bracelets because I rattle. I gesticulate more when we're together.
I think you're doing a very quiet job of it.
Thank you, but then I wanted to draw attention to how good I'm being.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was the kind of, yeah, that was the first action. Then the next thing we saw was the proofs themselves, which also came with an embargo for the press. So there was an embargo on reviews. Reviews are only allowed to go up either this Friday or the Friday after the release date. I'm not sure.
So is it out September 9th?
Yeah.
Okay, so on the proof, had an embargo, no reviews until some date much, much, much closer to the release of the book.
Which definitely has caused some confusion.
Yes.
Because I was sent a proof, I did not have to sign an embargo. I'm
same.
Not. Yeah, like we're not critics. We're not. We wouldn't be pitching reviews to newspapers or magazines. But we weren't given an embargo. Apart from there is on pretty much every proof, always has a line about like not for uncorrected bound edition, not for resharing or resale
or quote or
yeah, something like that. And that's basically because obviously like, that it's a proof is not the finished article. There may still be some changes made to the manuscript. It may not have had its final proof yet. So, like, we have seen examples in the past where that caveat has been ignored, like with the John Ronson book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed.
Do you remember this drama? Remind me of the drama.
Okay, so there was a line in the book, and forgive me because I cannot remember what it was, but there was some line in the book that compared, I think it was something like comparing something inappropriate to rape. And a reviewer read a proof copy and was like, what the fuck is this?
Justifiably.
And, yeah, justifiably flagged it publicly, I believe on Twitter. And that caused a big furore. And yeah, I mean, the author maintained that he had already decided to remove that line, we'll never know the truth, but that's an example as to when, yeah.
Like, that boundary has become crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or did he remove it because of the beef? We'll never know.
That's it. Like, we'll never know. But in theory, that's why you're not supposed to...
quote from proofs.
Quote publicly. I think it... I mean, I don't care either way with that situation. Like, the person did what they chose to do. But generally, you should kind of go back to the... whoever sent you the book to flag an issue like that. Because at that stage, it could still be changed.
Or to quote from it in a review or, you know.
Yeah, well, I think like quotes that have to be, like... approved, don't they? You have to confirm that it appears in the finished copy.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, that has led to like quite a bit of silence on Instagram, on books, on YouTube.
So yeah, it's kind of led to this radio silence with kind of people, I don't know, like that's what it's been ascribed to, but it's not entirely clear if that is why or if there are other reasons.
Well, I mean, I just think that there's been a lot of confusion. I think a lot of people haven't been sure whether or not they're allowed to share their Instagram review.
Or tweet about it or talk about it.
Yeah. Which does leave room for speculation.
Yeah.
Which I think is a shame because obviously it leaves room for people to think that maybe the book isn't so good. Much like Candyman came out in the UK this weekend, there was an embargo on reviews until the Friday before, which I saw loads of people being like, this is a bad sign, this is worrying.
It is a bad sign.
Yeah.
It literally is a bad sign, but yeah, and that kind of shoots a project in the foot in some ways, because that is what everyone assumes, like, especially with a book that's so hyped, where everyone tweets when they get the proof, and then if you never hear from them again... that
never
is not
good.
Yeah, that's really not a good sign. And the problem with this was also the fact that, like, this energy has not really applied to any proof that I've ever encountered before in my literary career. Like, I haven't really ever heard of a book that was sent out as a proof and then people didn't feel like they could talk about. Can you remember this happening?
Literally never.
Yeah, so it's quite a weird, unique thing, and I don't really know if it was... created by Faber or if it's just been kind of created by people erroneously misinterpreting what a review is or if we are under embargo. Like, I genuinely don't know.
Because you can't apply a retroactive embargo. Like, for an NDA to count for anything, then you have to sign it.
Yeah.
You have to sign something. You know, I think you can't... I don't know. Actually, I don't know the ins and outs of the legality of NDAs and at what point... you know, at what point information is no longer, you know, stuff that you're allowed to share. But either way, there has been a radio silence.
There has.
That's not to say that there has actually been silence, because people are still fucking talking endlessly about this book. So in some ways, I do think, like, it hasn't necessarily taken momentum away from the campaign, because everyone is just so hyped. And yeah, the other thing is, I can't think of another book or another author who gets this kind of energy from at least our corner of the internet.
True.
I don't know about, and I guess the reason why I say our corner is I'm thinking about like genre fiction where you have like a real solid fan base. Mm. It's just not, they're not books or book fans I encounter. So who's to say? Have you read it yet?
Yes, I have.
Is this a good point for us to discuss what we think of it before we move on to the rest of the campaign, or should we stick with...
I think now that in our timeline the proofs are out and we have received the proofs, we should address how we feel about the book. Have you read it?
I've read it. I have read it. I liked it. I didn't love it, if I'm totally honest. But I'm a big Sally Rooney fan, and I felt like for those of us who are already on board, then I think there's plenty to like. I do think for Sally Rooney fence sitters, it moved a little bit slower, and there are chunks of it that are written with less immediacy than her other books, which I think if you're not super enthused, I don't know if that kind of style is gonna sway you, but on the whole, yeah, I think it's good. It's fine. I think it's clearly also, like, it's a for many authors, this would be the kind of vibe I'd expect from the second book. You can tell that she's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so my take on this book is that I am surprised it's her third book rather than her second book, because Normal People felt so much more like assured than this.
Because Normal People, she wrote before Conversations yeah. with Friends had come out.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I feel like must be a really good position to be in.
Yeah. Because this book does feel like someone that is labouring under the stresses of being famous. Like, that's partly what the book is about. And it feels like that as well. It doesn't feel as, like, natural and inhabitant of the world as her other two books. And I like her other two books a lot more. I'm not crazy about this book. And I love her writing, think she's a real force for good in the world, think she's a really interesting person. Loved Conversations with Friends, love Normal People. Really am, like, pro-Sally Rooney, so I don't want this to be, like, misinterpreted as a kind of, like, edgy naysayer vibe, because I was rooting for this and I was ready to love it, but unfortunately I didn't. Yeah, for me it felt a lot like a book by someone who wanted to be like Sally Rooney but was not, which,
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I didn't love it. I've finished it, which, you know, means I didn't hate it, but yeah, I did not enjoy this book as much as her other works.
I think that's the thing as well, though, isn't it, is that, like, I think I hold her so highly in my heart that, yeah, like, I think at first I didn't even put it on. I didn't really share that I was reading it, partly because of this embargo confusion, and also because I just feel like there is such an incredible amount of pressure on this book to deliver that I don't feel like any author could necessarily shoulder that pressure. And, you know, obviously, just to be clear, like, Sally Rooney is clearly fine. Like, her career, it has really popped off and she's doing great. I feel like the internet has a hunger for bad reviews of this book, which is a vibe that I don't really like very much.
Yeah, and, like, that's partly why I have been very reluctant to, like, talk about it, is because I don't want to be part of that. Like, I didn't love it, and that was a disappointment for me, and I don't want that to, like, feed something nasty in other people, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, generally, if I dislike a book, I generally don't really talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's very difficult, though, I think, when everyone is kind of desperate to get a hint of what the vibe is, because obviously the campaign has simultaneously been massive, but also I don't think they've shared any extracts. Or
no,
have
they haven't given a lot away.
Yeah, it's all been, like, wrapped, you know.
In secrecy.
Yes. So yeah, I feel like I'm kind of awaiting publication day with some, you know, anxiety about what the internet will be like, because I feel like people who don't really get the fuss that's made over Normal People, which, you know, I think was a phenomenal book. I really loved it. I don't know. I feel like there is this kind of Schadenfreudian thirst to see her get her comeuppance, you know, like, God, I mean, that, even phrasing it that way just sounds so mean.
Yeah, and, like, know? Completely disproportionate to the writer of a book. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, yeah, the energy is quite off.
Also, like, ultimately, books that I don't think are politically bad.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
There's nothing politically, like, bad about this book. There's nothing in it that made me go, oh, I wouldn't have written that. More just that I just didn't enjoy it as much as I liked her other two books. You know, that's it.
But also for her to elicit such a strong reaction from people, when it seems like what people are mostly responding to is the enthusiasm.
Yeah,
they're not
her
responding
popularity.
To
yeah.
her work, they're responding to other people's response to it.
Yeah, it's not like she has, you know, capital letters, done something wrong. Like,
yeah.
She's in fact done a lot of good things.
I think so.
You know, talks about stuff that I don't hear other, you know, young female authors being able or asked to talk about. And I'm really fond of her. But yeah, just didn't love this book. And I'll be really interested to see what the reviews are like. I have no idea if my feeling about it is widespread or if I am an outlier. Who knows? But we'll find out very soon, I think.
So then the next part of the story is today, Faber have announced the pop-up bookshop, Well, I think they're calling it a pop-up shop. I don't know if they'll be selling other goods. But obviously... Oh, sorry. I completely skipped the bucket hat.
How could you?
Fuck.
Listen. I come to your house, I bring cookies, and you have the temerity to skip the bucket hat.
The bucket hat has been a good laugh, though.
Yes.
I feel like, I don't know, the bucket hat reminded me of one of my favourite books from 2019, with Paul Takes the Form of a Mortal Girl by Andrea Lawler. And the Picador team, who I adore, released a baby pink little baseball cap with that book. And mine is in my office. I fucking love it. It makes me laugh. It makes me feel happy. Like, it was fun and I liked it. And the bucket hat kind of reminds me of that. Like, no, I'm not going to go onto the Faber web shop and spend £22 on a bright yellow bucket hat with Beautiful World Where Are You written on the front. Doesn't mean I don't think it's a good fucking laugh.
Yeah. And it's ideal merch. A bucket hat. Hi, this is Bethany from the future. I am just popping on to say that the bucket hats were part of the American campaign. We just wanted to clarify that this was not
a Faber UK
part of the campaign.
I'm perfectly bucket happy hats, to carry a boy parts American. Tote bag. You Excellent know. Example to just pull right out your noggin there.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not averse to book merch. I use my normal people mug semi-regularly.
Oh, yeah, you got a mug.
I got a mug. I'm not anti-book merch as long as it's useful. I got sent a nice candle for Candace Carty-Williams' Empress and Anya, the proof of that which came this week.
Can I just say, it kills me that you've just said as long as it's useful, because my most beloved piece of book merch is my pink plastic doll from
Such More Hands, yeah. The Clonette doll. Yeah. Yeah, okay, not even useful, but like something that I personally want, yeah. You know? Useful yeah. To Bethany Rutter, the protagonist of the universe. And a Clonette doll would fall into that, as we know, because I have relieved you of at least one of them.
Yeah, because I love my one so much, I bought like a whole pack from Oklahoma, and I just love him.
Yeah.
So I love, as we call, you know, tchotchkes.
Tchotchkes.
Just little tchotchkes.
So yeah, as long as I want the stuff, I'm happy to receive the stuff.
But this is, so I'm very pro book merch, right? Like, I love being sent stuff.
Love a little gift.
It's fun. It's fun. It's exciting.
It's nice to get post.
I like opening packages. I also feel like a lot of the snark I've seen about the bucket hat / book merch in general is coming from people who I don't think are necessarily the target audience. Like, realistically, I am not the target audience of a fucking sunflower yellow bucket hat. But, you know, for like your bookstagrammers and your booktubers, your booktokers, like younger readers who like to wear their hearts on their sleeves.
And the bucket hats on their head.
And the bucket hats on their head. Like, that kind of shit is going to be gold dust.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's okay to recognise that you've maybe aged out of...
Bucket hats.
I actually have this... I have a really massive head. I really wish that we were filming this because Bethany's look of polite intrigue was just gold. Mm. I have a weird head and I've never really got along with hats. I have started to wonder if a bucket hat would be the hat for me.
I don't think it would. I'm just going to say, I don't think it would.
I'm actually like a cute little black one.
I mean, Godspeed and good luck to you, but I'd be shocked if it was. On the merch note, I would just like to speak out in favour of some other merch we have received in our careers that I have loved, which has been the little tchotchkes that Elizabeth McNeil has made to go along with her books, because she is a very talented ceramicist. And I used the, there was a little trinket dish that she did for the Doll Factory, and then a little tea light holder for Circus of Wonders. And they are both delightful, as is everything she makes, including the pint mug from which I drink my pint of tea every morning.
And mine, which I keep my incense in.
Oh, so nice. That doesn't look like a pint to me. That looks like a more normal size one.
I actually requested a smaller one because I never finish a hot drink.
And certainly not a pint of tea.
It drives my husband insane. I got given this like really little skinny mug with Santa Claus on it that I love. It was a gift. So I'm very grateful for it. I hate it. It drives me insane. And he, every single day when he makes me coffee, even if it's dirty, he will clean it to present me with coffee in that mug. And he says, there you go, your favourite mug. Every fucking day.
Whereas this, it really is my favourite mug. So yes, just wanted to speak out on behalf of this lovely merch we move on to other topics.
No, that is actually a great example of merch which was really unique to the book, because obviously Elizabeth McNeil handmade every single trinket dish, every single tea light holder. I use my trinket dish every day.
Me too. For my trinkets.
I put every day.
Yeah.
So I put my hairbands. So that's a good example of good merch. And also, you know what, like, I think sometimes when a package really, like, speaks true of the book as well, like, I remember being sent a thriller, the name of which escapes me, written by two women.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The one that sent us, like, a mirror and a lipstick.
Yeah, it came with, and I cleared out my makeup the other day, and I found that lipstick did not survive the great lipstick famine of 2020/21. So I've had to throw it away, and I was devastated, and I will rebuy it, because it was a really nice lipstick, it was a nice colour, but it also smelt gorgeous, it smelled like violets. But it was perfect for the book, because lipstick is a theme in the book. And
I wish I could remember the name of that book, because it was the thriller with, like, a twist halfway through.
Yeah, it was one of those books that I read over a whole weekend. I'm gonna find it on my phone, because it will really annoy anyone who's listening to this episode. But then also, yeah, so another example of great packages was The Graces by Law Eve.
Yes.
You know, like, I remember they sent me the sequel, which I can't remember what it was called now, but this, and it came with, like, tarot cards, which I still have up there. I love it when books come with, like, just shit like that, that kind of gives the package a little extra something.
And gives you a sense of the book. The Wife Between Us, Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen.
That's it.
Yes, I remember it well. Yes.
And juicy. I remember that book as well. The American team had sent out the exact Clinique lipstick that's in the book.
Oh, what a dream.
I was like, that's fucking gorge. I love it. But yeah, and then, like, my final thought on merch is that I do think that, you know, the kind of the book world merch is obviously dominated by classics, because that shit is available to anyone. Like, there's no copyright on it. But yeah, I feel like... there is room in the world to, like, actually sell book-related merch. I think there's an audience for it in the young people who are on Instagram and TikTok and BookTube and stuff. Like, I think they'd like it. I don't know why I see so much snark about it.
I love a merch. Especially, you know, I think there could be a good line in little, like, enamel badges, you know, just cute little trinkets like that.
Yeah, definitely. I do recall, though, I have had a conversation with a friend who works in publishing, and they said that one of the reasons that bigger publishers don't do it is that it's just a pain in the ass. Like, books are all processed in a very specific way through warehouses, so scanned through Nielsen Book Scan, all that shit. And apparently, I think funneling merch through the same means to sell is not really possible.
Mm.
So, I don't know, that's a very woolly, vague memory of a conversation I had. So that may not be fully accurate.
Or indie presses, then. I feel like they're the people that should, you know, be harnessing this. You know, tell me I'm worthless. Do a little enamel pin badge that just says worthless. I don't know, something.
I wear that.
Yeah. Cool, okay. So we've covered the bucket hat.
Yeah.
Now where do we go from there?
Then today they announced the pop-up shop, which is being run by Waterstones from a location in Shoreditch in East London, which is, like, a very trendy part of London. And basically they're going to be selling Beautiful World, What Are You?, as well as her back catalogue, and then a selection of recommended reads.
By Sally Rooney.
Picked by Sally Rooney herself.
Fascinating.
And then they're hosting workshops, book clubs, and daily giveaways. So the bookshop is free to enter, and the book club is free, but you do have to book a ticket. But the calligraphy classes are £42 each, £42.27, and the candle making is, like, £57.90. Which to me feels quite expensive.
Yeah, I agree. That is expensive, but I feel like that is a peripheral part of the pop-up. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not the function of the pop-up. That's almost just like a kind of extra thing. Whereas the core function of the pop-up is to create a place to buy the book, a place to see what book Sally Rooney recommends. I'm interested in that. You know, I would like to know what those books are. To have a little book club event. Like, I think that is in itself, and all of those things are, like, you know, free to enter and see, you pay money for the book you buy, whatever. But, like, I'm not really seeing much wrong with that. And then if you want to do the candle making class, you will pay your money.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I also feel much like I'm not the target demographic for the bucket hat. I'm also not the target demographic for a calligraphy class or candle making. Like, I'm not crafty. It's not, you know, it doesn't interest me. I mean, you're a crafty gal.
I taught myself calligraphy.
Oh, of course you fucking did.
Of course you did. For my wedding, my name settings at my wedding.
Yeah, and they were stunning.
Thank you.
But yeah, I feel like the overwhelming amount of criticism for actually something which is just quite fun.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the purpose of it is to create buzz. That's literally what it's for. I think it looks cool. It looks nice. I probably won't make it down there because I'm lazy. But I'm glad that... I think it's exciting to see, like, such a... Oh, my God, and we completely forgot, beg your pardon, with the proofs, there were 4 different editions as well.
Oh, my God, we didn't even talk about the fact that they were different colours and a holographic cover.
Should we circle back? No, fuck it.
Who cares? There were different covers. They were nice.
But, like, I guess that's my point, is that every single stage of the campaign has done something quite cool, surprising. The 4... editions of the proof. It was like, how do you make the most anticipated proof? I feel like not even of the year doesn't even feel accurate. Like, one of the most anticipated proofs ever. I think like people feel more inspired to tweet. I'm sure the lust is there for lots of books, right? But like, I think like just the energy online, the memification of that desire feels quite unique to Sandrini. Yeah. How do you make the most covetable proof more covetable? You release a fucking holographic version.
For like, booksellers, yeah.
Genius. It was so genius. So the experiential element of the final part of the campaign, of the book launch, creating an event. Like, so Sally Rooney will be doing a talk at Waterstones Piccadilly the day before. I think on the Thursday itself. I'm not sure.
It'll be sold out anyway. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter because you're not going.
Yeah.
But
unless
like,
you're
so
going, you're not going.
She is doing an in-person event. Then you have this pop-up shop with, you know, workshops, other things to bring people in rather than just the buying of the book. Who else has done that?
Yeah.
Who else is doing that? And like, we are, something that we are seeing in the as a result of the pandemic is we are going to see like, the shape of the high street is going to change. We're already seeing over the last sort of decade a kind of a bigger emphasis on experiential shopping. We've seen that in like flagship stores like the Topshop, Oxford Circus obviously was like a pioneer in that regard with their nail bars and their like
tattoo parlors.
Yeah, like all that wacky shit. We're going to be seeing more and more of that because
We have to give people reasons to physically turn up somewhere.
Exactly. And, you know, ultimately, there, in a world in which content on the internet is gold dust, you have to give someone to create, you have to give people something to actually focus their, creative eye on. I feel like this pop-up ticks that box pretty well. And, like, I just think, credit where credit's due. There's a team that's working really hard and have smashed out like a really cool idea.
I agree. And I think the worst thing you can say about the pop-up is that the classes are too expensive. That's it. Like, that's really, for me, that's it. Like, there is nothing deeper than that. There is nothing more to, you know, complain about. That's it. There is no deeper truth.
Agreed.
Hello, it's Bethany from the future again. Just wanted to say that we have now looked into it and we can confirm that the price of the book is included in the price of the event ticket. Goodbye.
And then obviously, I mean, although I suppose I would say that I do understand the London-centric nature of it, I have no idea how much work has gone into creating this pop-up shop. I assume a fucking huge amount. It would be great if they were able to reproduce that experience in other parts of the country.
I agree.
It may not, of course, be reasonable to expect them all to happen simultaneously, but I feel like that's a legitimate cause for complaint. But anyway, how exciting. I love it.
And it's so soon.
Anyway, so that basically is everything I currently have to say about the Sally Rooney.
So you think. We're going to get down the road, we're going to be in the pub and you're going to be like, shit, why didn't I talk about this thing, this strongly held opinion that I have?
I'm going to remember so much. I guess the thing is that also, I'm not saying that Sally Rooney or Faber are somehow above criticism and it's completely legit to air your views on the internet. I just personally find like, I just think it's really interesting the way that it's been memeified. Like, the bucket hat has become a meme.
Yeah.
And that is also something that you can't just force that, you know, you can't force the memification of something that you've done. Like, that's organic, man.
The bucket hat is pure content. Yeah.
And it delights me. It fucking delights me.
I agree.
And also, you know what? Ultimately, the money that... The sales of this book are going to be phenomenal. That money is what gives Faber room to buy stuff like Sarah Grand's Come Closer, like...
Eliza Clark.
Yeah, it makes them, you know, it gives them the capital to invest in stuff that is a little bit more out there.
And also, you know, the people for which you can say that in other books, for example, the David Walliams and the J.K. Rowling of this world, Sally Rooney is a good fucking person, unlike those two. Like... Good for her.
She said it.
I went there. I want to see her do well, and I do not begrudge her any success because I think she's a delight, and I think she's a force for good in the world, and I think she's really talented. At least she writes her own books, unlike some people. Yeah, so good for her. I think she is good as an author. I think she's good for publishing. I think she's good for the publishing ecosystem. I want to see her succeed.
And that's all we have to say on that.
See you next time.
Bye! Bye.